Red Dwarf, Season 5, Episode 1. Holy shit. Inside Starbucks, the dwarfers are watching a film. We hear a man and a woman speaking in melodramatic voices. While this is going on, Lister is looking decidedly sad and appears to be chewing his hair. Cat is blinking excessively. Rimmer looks totally disgusted. On the film,
oh Arnie.
Oh, my darling, don't. This isn't a time for sadness, it's a time for joy, for laughter, don't you see? Whatever this crazy old world throws at us now, it doesn't matter, none of it.
Arnie, we can never be together again.
Oh my darling, you're wrong. We'll always be together. It's just that we'll be apart.
The film ends.
Wasn't that just beautiful? Well recommended, sir. Do you think they ever get back together again?
Lister has his head in his hands.
I don't know.
Pardon?
I don't know.
Wasn't it just wonderful though, sir? The way he sacrificed his career, his dreams, everything for the woman he loved.
I thought it was the worst pile of blubbery schoolgirl mush I've ever been compelled to endure. I consider it an insult to my backside that it was forced to sit here growing carbuncles through such putrid adolescent slush.
You didn't find it uplifting?
It wasn't in the least bit uplifting, it was totally unbelievable. Why would he give everything up for a woman he's never going to see again?
Because she loved him, and he would have that forever.
To Lister.
Isn't that right, sir?
Personally, I thought it started well but fell apart. All that stuff with the ducks all getting into trouble, that was great. Then it all went black and white and I fell asleep.
But sir, that was the cartoon before the main program.
Hang on chaps, we've got a blip. Quadrant 4, Sector 492.
I'm onto it right away, Holly.
Crichton leaves.
Those kinds of films really irritate me. Just not realistic. There isn't a man in the universe who wouldn't have taken the job and to hell with the woman. Total baloney.
Rimmer, you said that about King of Kings. The story of Jesus.
Well, it's true. A simple carpenter's son who learns how to do magic tricks like that and doesn't go into show business. Do any of us believe that even for a second?
He was supposed to be the son of God.
And when he was carrying that cross up the hill, any normal realistic bloke would have mule kicked the guy on the left, clobbered the one on the right, and been over that green hill and far away before you could say Pontius Pilate.
Why do I feel that somehow you've missed the point? I mean, whether you believe that stuff or not, it's about a dude who sacrifices his life for love.
Not realistic. As if.
You've got no soul, man. No soul.
Sirs, I think you should take a look at this.
Another vessel.
Too small. Maybe a missile.
Impact in 37 seconds.
Plotting random evasion course.
What? Am I the only sane one here? Why don't we drop the defensive shields?
A superlative suggestion, sir, with just two minor flaws. One, we don't have any defensive shields, and two, we don't have any defensive shields. Now I realize that technically speaking that's only one flaw, but I thought it was such a big one it was worth mentioning twice.
Cat pats Crichton's shoulder.
Good point, well made.
A blue light formation which looks like a comet flies towards the front of Starbuck. Inside Starbuck, the blue light flashes past the occupants into the adjoining room and turns into a collection of blue spheres swirling around. Rimmer walks towards it and steps into the swarm.
Rimmer, what are you doing?
It's incredible. It's beautiful.
It's not registering on any scale, mass, velocity, molecular structure. All the readings are zero.
The spheres suddenly zoom away past the crew members and out of the ship. We see the blue comet shoot off into space and vanish, whereupon the ship materializes.
Sir, I'm picking up some kind of energy emission.
Rimmer disappears in a flash of red light.
They've taken Mr. Rimmer. Sir, they've taken Mr. Rimmer.
Quick, let's get out of here before they bring him back.
Rimmer appears in the holoship. He looks around, astonished. In walks a woman, on whose forehead is a letter H in a circle.
I hope we didn't startle you, Merlin Quinn.
They shake hands.
You touch me. I can touch.
She throws him a glass and he catches it.
How is this possible?
Nirvana pours Rimmer a drink.
This entire ship, its crew, and everything on it is computer generated.
You're all holograms, even the ship.
Salute.
They touch glasses.
Salute.
The holographic duo are now in the lift.
How big's the crew?
Just under 2,000. All top flight personnel.
What a ship.
Floor 3125, Sports and Sexual Recreation. The grin disappears from Rimmer's face.
Sports and what?
Sex. Don't you have a sex deck on your ship?
No.
Well, what do you do when you want to have sex?
Well, we go for runs. Watch gardening programs on the ship's vid.
That's very bad for you. Don't you ever feel tense or frustrated?
Well, it's got worse these last 10 years or so, I can't deny it.
Extraordinary. It's quite different here. In fact, it's a ship regulation that we all have sexual congress at least twice a day. It's a health rule.
Twice a day? That's more than some people manage in a lifetime. I mean sad, lonely people. But what happens if you don't have a partner?
If you don't have a partner?
Well, I mean some people, and sad, lonely people, find that people just aren't attracted to them in that kind of way.
I don't understand. Here it is considered the height of bad manners to refuse an offer of sexual coupling.
Well, people have always complimented me on my good manners. What a ship.
We discarded the concept of family in the 25th century when scientists finally proved that all our hang-ups and neuroses are caused by our parents.
I knew it.
Families are disastrous for your mental health, so are relationships. These are outmoded concepts for us.
But what about love? Surely people still fall in love.
We have developed Beyond Love, Mr. Rimmer. That is a short-term hormonal distraction which interferes with the pure pursuit of personal advancement. We are holograms. There is no risk of disease or pregnancy. That is why in our society we only believe in sex, constant, guilt-free sex.
Back on Starbuck.
Poor Mr. Rimmer. I fear he is in great danger.
I'm trying to get them to handshake, but they're not responding on any frequency.
Well, I say let's break out the laser cannons and give them both barrels.
An adroit suggestion, sir, with just two minor drawbacks.
Okay, forget it.
You won't get a shootout. Look at the readouts. Zero mass.
Of course, a whole ship.
A whole ship?
The project was in its initial phase when I left the solar system. Ships of no mass or volume able to travel as superlight particles, tachyons, through wormholes and stargates crewed by holograms of great genius and bravery.
And they've taken Rimmer.
Incredulously.
He should fit in just perfectly.
Now I understand why they didn't bother with the handshake. Polar crews are legendarily arrogant. They despise stupidity wherever they see it, and they see it everywhere.
Hang on, I'm getting another energy emission.
A crew member from the holoship appears in an adjoining room. The dwarfers walk in to investigate. The hologram begins walking around, completely ignoring them at first.
Thanks to enlightenment, have arrived on the derelict. Confirm initial speculation, there is absolutely nothing of any value or intrigue here. It's one of the old Class II ship-to-surface vessels. The very model, in fact, that was withdrawn due to major flight design flaws. Crew, 3. 1 series 4000 mechanoid, almost burnt out, give it maybe 3 years. Nothing of salvageable value. Ah, fellow Saturns, bred from the domestic house cabins about half as smart. No value in future study of this species. What have we here? A human being, or a very close approximation. Chronological age, mid-20s, physical age, 47. Grossly overweight, unnecessarily ugly, otherwise would recommend it for the museum. Apart from that, of no value or interest.
While Binks is ending his spiel, Lister searches his pockets for a cigarette packet. He draws one cigarette out as an aerial and begins imitating Binks.
Lister to Red Dwarf. We have in our midst a complete smegpot. Brains in the anal region, chin absent, presumed missing, genitalia small and inoffensive, of no value or interest.
Thanks to enlightenment, evidence of primitive humor, the human has knowledge of irony, satire and imitation, with patient tuition could maybe master simple tasks.
Lister to Red Dwarf. Displays evidence of spoiling for a rumble. Seems unable to grasp simple threats. With careful pummeling, could possibly be sucking tomorrow's lunch through a straw.
Thanks to enlightenment, the human is under the delusion that he is somehow able to bestow physical violence to a hologram.
Lister to Red Dwarf. The intruder seems to be blissfully unaware that we have a rather sturdy hollow whip in the munitions cabinet. Unless he wants his derriere mince like burger meat, he'd better be history in 2 seconds flat.
Lister eats the cigarette, quickly removes his jacket, hat and waistcoat, and assumes a boxing stance.
Thanks to enlightenment. Recon mission complete, transmit. With speed, enlightenment, quickly please.
Aboard the holoship. The captain is present and 2 officers are in the background typing at computer keyboards. Nerva, the crane, and Rimmer arrive.
Captain, Mr. Rimmer from the mining ship Red Dwarf.
Mr. Rimmer, oh my word, it is one of the old Class 1 holograms. I didn't realize that you guys were still around. Captain Ercole Platini, IQ 212. Number 1.
Commander Nalina Pushkin, IQ 201.
Commander Randy Navarro, IQ 194. Second Technician Arnold Rimmer, IQ unknown. Captain, this is a magnificent ship.
So it should be, Mr. Rimmer. After all, it was designed to carry the hologrammatic cream of the Space Corps. Every crew member is the top gun in his or her field. This is a ship, Mr. Rimmer, of superhumans.
Which is why, Captain, I feel I could really belong here.
Are you serious?
Everything I want in my life is here on this ship. I want to join you.
Herbert, Mr. Rimmer, you are not an officer.
Captain, I've been in effective command of Red Dwarf now for nearly 4 years. I've guided that ragamuffin ragtail crew of whacked-out crazies and 50 peaceniks through hell and back. If I gave the order, those guys would crawl on their bellies across broken glass with their flies unzipped. So don't tell me I'm not an officer, Captain, just because in deep space there's no academy around to award me my tips. You've got to take me.
Unfortunately, it's not that simple, Mr. Rimmer. The Enlightenment already has a full ship's complement. The only way in is dead man's boots.
You have to challenge an existing crew member. There are tests which tax the entire vista of your intellect.
Oh. Tests that probe every aspect of your mental capability. Ah.
Should you win, your opponent's runtime would be terminated and their life force would be used to generate you.
Who will be my opponent?
Well, I'm sure our computer will come up with the most stimulating matchup. It has stochastic capabilities.
It predicts the future with only a 5% error margin, simply by extrapolating the most likely outcome of all known variables. I am asking it for your best chance of success. And here it is. Your best shot is crew member 4172. You have a 96% probability of failure.
Mr. Rimmer, you have 24 hours to prepare.
Rimmer and Nervina Crane are walking down the corridor.
Well, thank you, Commander, for a most fascinating afternoon. It's been most fascinating.
Perhaps if you're not in any great rush, Mr. Rimmer, we could retire to my quarters and have sex for a few hours.
They are now lying on the bed.
That was just unbelievable.
It's never been like that before.
Was it okay?
It was different.
Different?
You make love like a Japanese meal. Small portions but so many curses.
Look, Nervina.
Must dress and go now.
She gets up and dons the robe.
Look, Nervina, what I'm trying to say is...
Please, don't say anything.
I hope you didn't get me wrong just then. That meant nothing to me. Truly less than nothing, really.
Good.
We may as well have been playing tennis.
As it should be.
I don't suppose you'd fancy a tie break.
I'm sorry, I've got things I should do.
Nyet Kraplensky.
You know, we usually talk.
What do you talk about?
Oh, research, new theories, mission profiles.
I'm sorry, I must have seemed very ignorant. I hardly said anything apart from... Geronimo.
Thank you for the workout.
Dress.
He is suddenly clothed.
Transmit.
Rimmer disappears. A computer screen says message waiting. Nervina Crane presses a key.
Privacy off.
Number 2 appears on the screen.
Commander, some amusing news. Starkey has chosen you to meet our guest challenge.
Aboard Red Dwarf, Rimmer has joined the others.
What you're suggesting is immoral and illegal. Mind patching is outlawed.
But it is possible.
Possible but highly dangerous. The side effects can be devastating. You could be reduced to a gibbering simpleton.
Reduced? I don't care. I'm prepared to take the chance.
Even if it costs you your mind?
It's a small price to pay.
Look, on that ship I can touch, I can feel, I can taste. I'm not a half-man anymore. With them I'm whole again.
Rimmer, they're a bunch of arrogant, pompous, emotionally weird stuck-up megalomaniacs. Do you really think you're going to fit in with them? What am I saying? Bon voyage!
He's right, sir. Why do you want to throw in with people like that?
Because I want to be somebody. I want to have a position of authority on a scout ship exploring uncharted space. Work alongside educated men and women. Officers, people who count. Lister, this is my one chance to seize my dream. To be with the winners. Look at me. What do you see?
Tell me.
You see a sad and lonely guy. A guy who left home at 16 to become an officer and a gentleman, and ended up as a chicken soup machine operative. Is it any wonder my father had 4 strokes? Is it any wonder he used to sit by the window and dribble? I did that to him. Me.
Look, there's nothing wrong with what you did. It was just a job.
You are your job.
Oh, not so, sir. Now, was Albert Camus a goalkeeper or a philosopher? Was Albert Einstein a clerk in a patent office or the greatest physicist who ever lived? And of course there's the oft-told tale of the simple carpenter's son who went on to own the largest chain of pizza stores in history, Harry B. Delphow.
Crichton, Albert Einstein didn't spend the best years of his life picking out lumps of desiccated poultry from the end of his nozzle cleaner.
That doesn't make you a failure.
It does in my parents' eyes. It does in my brother's eyes. It does in the eyes of everyone with eyes. That's exactly what it makes me.
Sir, I beg you to reconsider, if not for your sanity. You haven't even considered the moral implications of your decision. You will be joining a society where you will be compelled to have sex with beautiful, brilliant women twice daily on demand. Now, am I really the only one here who finds that just a little bit tacky?
Lister and Kata speechless.
Well, quite clearly I am.
Later, Rimmer is lying on some kind of operating table in the laboratory, and Crichton is standing by.
Sir, I've appointed the two candidates to be inserted into your mind. Science officer Bushin, excellent scientific background, 169 IQ, and flight coordinator McQueen, superlative mathematician, 172 IQ. Now even taking into account the enormous drag factor of your own mind, I still think we'll come up with something pretty special.
But I will still have control.
You will have access to the knowledge, but your personality will have the power of veto. But sir, I implore you to reconsider, if not for yourself then for the poor officer whose life you will take.
Wasn't it St. Francis of Assisi himself who said never give a sucker an even break?
Well, if he did, sir, it was strictly off the record.
Come on, Crichton, get on with it.
Commencing integration.
Glory or insanity awaits.
Crichton presses a control and an electronic arm starts passing over Rimmer from his feet towards his head. Crichton and Lister are walking down the corridor.
He's read every book in the medical library.
In under 3 hours. The change is quite astonishing. But sir, I feel I should warn you, this is not the pile of human wreckage we know as Arnold Rimmer. Prepare yourself.
They arrive at a room where Rimmer is sitting in front of the computer.
Sir, we received the coordinates. Perhaps we should be, making tracks.
Crichton!
Rimmer turns around and we can see that he is wearing glasses and holding his head up in a pompous manner.
Just thinking. Assuming, of course, we're not dealing with five-dimensional objects in a basic Euclidean geometric universe, and given the essential premise that all geomathematics is based on an affidiously limiting notion that 1 plus 1 equals 2, and not as Estimeyer correctly postulates that 1 and 2 are in fact the same thing observed from different precepts, the theoretical shape described by Sidis must therefore be a polydidacticawihedron a hexasixahedroadicanadipidolihedicadadron. Everything else is poppycock. Isn't that so?
Rimmer.
Lister, Rimmer, and Crichton are walking down the corridor.
I wrote a palindromic haiku this morning. Perhaps you'd like to hear it.
I'm afraid we don't speak Japanese, sir.
I could translate it into Mandarin for you.
Rimmer, we don't speak Japanese, we don't speak Mandarin, and we don't speak Satsuma.
In an aside to Crichton,
he is really beginning to get on my pecs.
Rimmer is standing apart from them, making strange pointing motions towards the ceiling.
You must remember, sir, that he's operating on a completely different level to us now. To him we are the intellectual equivalent of domestic science teachers.
In the transmission room.
Subject ready for transfer.
Farewell, gentlemen. Glory awaits.
He disappears. Aboard the holoship, we see Rimmer and the other candidate in turn listening to a message by Captain Platini.
Test candidates, to preserve the pure intellectual nature of this challenge you will remain in separate suites. The questions will come through your headphones in a variety of different languages to confuse and disorient you. There will be a total of 200,000 questions in this initial session. After you have completed the tasks at Workstation A, you may proceed to Workstation B.
I shall undertake both tasks simultaneously if it's all the same to you.
He puts on a pair of headphones.
Mr. Rimmer, that is impossible.
Nevertheless, I shall attempt it.
He puts on a second pair of headphones.
It begins.
A montage of images follows. Questions flash up on computer screens and Rimmer and the other contestant type on keyboards, Rimmer using two at once. One of the questions reads, given initial tangential deviation of theta pi, find the course obtended by fractional derivative of the third quotient of theta. Now, a score screen with headings Challenger and crew member 4172, which counts upwards from 225 to Rimmer, and 129. Rimmer swaps his hands between the keyboards and starts typing with his arms crossed. The score goes up to 369 to 219. Suddenly, Rimmer freezes. His score stops at 369 while the crew member's score continues to increase. Later, Rimmer appears on Red Dwarf and begins running down the corridor. Meanwhile, the others are interviewing a female hologram. Crichton has in front of him a printout of all the candidates' details.
Well, you sound exactly like what we're looking for. Are there any questions that you'd like to ask us?
I just want to get one thing clear in my mind. This is an opportunity to be revived as a hologram and become a part of the crew, and the crew is you three. Basically, you spent your time salvaging derelict spaceships, playing poker and eating curries.
Well, we don't do that much salvaging.
But you do sound like you eat a lot of curries.
No, we don't eat curry every night if that's what you think. In fact, I remember quite clearly last June Mr. Lister had a pizza. You remember?
Lister nods in agreement.
Yeah.
And you didn't like it. But then I poured curry sauce all over it and he just yummed it up.
And the all-night poker sessions, is it always strip poker?
It depends on how drunk we are.
Or how much curry he's had.
So, and this probably sounds like a stupid question for sliding or ballet.
Fine by us. As long as we can have a curry afterwards, we're cool. But of course there's one or two other people that we have to see, but in theory if we offered you the post of replacement hologram, would you accept?
No.
No.
No, I think I'm better off where I am. But you're dead. And meeting you guys that really made me appreciate it a whole lot more.
Well, thank you very much, Miss Harrison. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes. Harrison disappears. What's part of that clown appears? That type of clown, eh? Ah, clown. Now, as all you have told you, Grimmer rushes in and interrupts. Why? My own mind has come back. You've got to help me. Well, what happened exactly? Was it more deterioration of your own intelligence, or did it happen seconds? Seconds? I'm in the middle of these seconds. You've got to give me another mind back to battle.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. It's classic rejection syndrome. Once the minds are unmeshed, there is nothing we can do.
What are you talking about?
Well, you just don't have the sort of brain that can accept an implant, sir.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, sir.
There must be something you can do.
I'm afraid not.
But I'm winning. I'm so close.
He notices Sam Murray.
Who's this? I'm not even gone and you're choosing my replacement.
We thought you weren't coming back.
Well, you should have known better, shouldn't you? You actually expect something to go right for me. Arnold Schmucker-Rimmer. Hotspot by royal appointment.
Well, where are you going, sir?
I'm going to withdraw.
In the holoship's lift, Rimmer, number one, and another female hologram are present.
I hear you're doing really well in the assessment. Well, listen, if you make it through, maybe you'd like to have sex sometime next week. I'm free Wednesday morning.
I'm sorry, I'm busy Wednesday. I'm killing myself.
Floor 6120, Botanical Gardens. The two women leave and Nirvana Crane enters.
Arnie, where have you been?
To hell and back. I've withdrawn from the challenge.
But you're winning.
I was using a mind patch.
A mind patch? Are you insane?
I would have done anything to get on the ship. Every time I look in the mirror, I see this.
His letter H.
Only to me it doesn't mean hologram. It means half-wit, hopeless, hideous failure. This was a chance to be somebody. Somebody I liked.
I've never met anyone like you before.
Everyone says that.
Listen to me, mister. Underneath all that neurotic mess is someone nice trying to get out. Someone who deserves a chance to grow. So you won't give up, okay? Okay?
I cheated.
You're going to win, Arnie. You're going to get your dream. I promise you.
You really think?
Nirvana Crane kisses her finger and touches Rimmer's lips. The lift door opens.
I really think.
She leaves. Back on Rat Dwarf, Rimmer enters a room where Cat, Lister, and Crichton await.
I won.
What?
My opponent withdrew. I won. I'm an officer. I leave tonight.
He leaves. In the transmission room, Rimmer is saying goodbye to the other dwarfers, rather falteringly. His letter H is now in a circle.
Look, I'm not much good at big speeches, and I know I haven't always been an easy guy to get on with, and I know that given the choice I probably wouldn't have chosen you as friends. But, I just want to say, that over the years, I have come to regard you, as, people I met. Think I'd just better go, okay?
See you, Smeghead.
Transfer.
Transfer.
Rimmer disappears. The holoship disappears and we see the blue comet fly away. On board the holoship, number two and Rimmer walk into a room.
Here are your quarters, Mr. Rimmer. There must be some mistake. These are Commander Crane's quarters. Oh, didn't you know? She was your opponent.
Music starts playing, as from the film which was playing at the start of the episode. Rimmer walks into the captain's room.
Navigation Officer Rimmer reporting, sir.
Arnold, welcome aboard. I trust everything to your side.
Permission to speak, sir. I wish to resign my commission, sir.
Resign? May I ask your reasoning, please?
Flight Commander Crane has taken leave of her senses and fallen in love with me, sir.
Love? Surely not. Commander Crane is far too intellectually advanced to submit to a mere short-term hormonal imbalance.
That's why she withdrew from the challenge and allowed me to win, sir.
Mr. Rimmer, what you are suggesting is that somehow she cared more for your happiness than she did for her own life.
Am I? Yes, sir. I suppose I am, sir.
And now you are doing something equally unfathomable. Resigning so that she can be reinstated, even though here you could have everything, a position of command, an effective physical presence, everything.
Perhaps you'd be kind enough to pass this note on to her, sir.
He hands over an envelope. The music swells.
I understand your gesture, but really your resignation solves nothing. After all, the two of you will still be apart.
Permission to return to Red Dwarf, sir.
Granted.
Rimmer stands to attention and salutes. He begins to leave.
Oh, and sir, you're wrong. We won't be apart, we just won't be together.
A look of disgust comes over Rimmer's face.
I cannot believe I just said that.
Rimmer leaves. The end.